That is the word I believe God is saying to us this morning. Come to me. And we are here to celebrate Christmas. But we are here more than that, to come to him. Are you burnt out on religion? Are you someone who is tired of trying to make it be enough? Come to me. No soul can have rest until it finds created things are empty. When the soul gives up all for love, so that it can have him that is all, then it finds true rest. This was by Julian of Norwich. I'm going to read a portion of scripture before we get into the word, and I want you to see that this ties very specifically into why Jesus came. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall name him and call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel means, does anyone know what Emmanuel means? Go ahead, Finn. God with us. Can you say God with us? Can you say that with me? God with us. Again, God with us. That is what Emmanuel means. He is not just God for us. He's not God who likes us or waits till we get everything right. He is God with us. So, the second portion of scripture I'm going to read is from Isaiah 61. This is talking about Jesus. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." This is something that I want you to see, that this Jesus who came to be with us came not to the people who had it figured out. He did not come to the select few who paid for a golden ticket. How many of you watched Willy Wonka? Right? Okay. Do you have a golden ticket? No, you don't belong here if you don't have a golden ticket. But it wasn't even something that could be earned or tried, and you couldn't get it from some special place. He came to be, what does Emmanuel mean? With us. So he didn't even say, "Well, you come and find me." God did not say that. Instead, he said, "Come to me." When Sam was sharing what she had on her heart, and this is something that Sam has ministered a couple times before, and she and I were talking about this, just to see when God calls to us, the call to rest is not just a, "Oh yeah, I guess everything's going to feel calm." How many of you don't feel like life is calm right now? Okay. There's a lot of life that doesn't seem calm. So for me to stand up here, it'll be very disingenuous for me to come up here like, "Oh, great, it's Christmas, joy to the world." And you're like, "I want to be joyful, but there is a lot that I'm working through that I don't know how to be. So I want to give you something that will help you with that, so that the joy you have is not fake or put on. It's not just something that you're just like, "Okay, I guess I have to be joyful because it's Christmas time." So if you're burned out on just what Christmas season can bring, or even if it's not Christmas at all, if it's just family stuff, if it is job, work stuff, if it is where our nation's at, what is it that's weighing on you that you feel like, I just don't know if I can handle all of this stuff going on? I want to read out of Matthew 11 because Jesus has an answer for this. At this time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to who? What? What's Jesus doing revealing all the amazing things of God to children? Do you know that all of you sitting over here in the front, all of you children, that Jesus has specific things that he's like, I'm going to show it to Elora. I'm going to show it to Jeremiah. Some of the most wonderful things of God are things that Jane will understand, things that Oliver will understand, things that Brooks can understand. God wants to speak to each of us. He doesn't want to just talk to the grown-ups. God wants to talk to the little ones. And Jesus says, for Father, such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And this is our theme for today. Jesus follows with this statement, come to me. You heard Sam repeat that over and over as Jesus was appealing to you through what she was saying, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So this is the passage I'm going to be talking through today. It's not a Christmas passage, but believe me, it is maybe one of the most crucial Christmas passages you will hear. Because this is why the declaration when Jesus was born was, glory to God in the highest, and what? For who? What kind of people? People who would respond to the work of God's peace. That was something that he came to bring. But what did you have to do to receive this peace? Come to me. What is those three words? Come to me. And this is the same thing that Jesus, all the way through his life, he kept saying the same thing over and over again. Come to me. Come to me. To others, he said, follow me. Follow me. But it was always him inviting them into a way of God. And this passage of scripture, it's very the words that were used there are very specific. They're not just nice sounding words. When he said, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. This is in the context of a passage. If this same passage of scripture is written to a time where he was dealing with the Pharisees in the town, the elite religious class of people who knew all the Bible, who knew how to follow God, knew how to do all the right things. They had really good clothes, a lot of them, right? They would dress well. They had their Sunday best. Those are the kinds of people. And these people, Jesus just got done saying, they put on Matthew chapter 23. I want you to see it's the same words being used. Matthew chapter 23 verse 4 says, they tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and place them on people's shoulders. But they themselves are not even willing to move them with their little finger. It's in this context Jesus is saying, you can sometimes be stuck under the weight of religion. Under the weight of, well, this is what a good Christian does. And if you wanted, as a little Jewish boy or a child in those times, if you wanted to grow in knowing God, what you'd have to do is go and find a teacher. And usually in the synagogue there, they would have a teacher. Or if you were someone who was really advanced, there would be a teacher who would say, come to me. Take my yoke upon you. That word, take my yoke, is a student word. It was a common phrase. It was an idiom for come under my school of thinking. Come under my teaching. So join my class. Sign up for my class. But in those days, signing up for someone's class meant you were there the whole time. You lived with them 24/7. So when Jesus is saying this, he's saying, are you burnt out on carrying the load of religious requirements placed on you by people? But at the same time, he's also talking to the one who is just tired, to the one who's exhausted. People who are just like, I don't know if I'm ever going to find peace with God. To such people, he said, come to me. All of you who labor, who are working hard and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. That word rest is a very big word, but it is a word of stop. Just stop. Where all of the fixings, all of the tryings, stop. So if there's one thing that I can ask of you this Christmas is, will you stop and come to me? That's what Jesus is saying. Just in this Christmas time, for all of the things that you could get busy with, stop and come to me. Because you will find rest for your soul, not just a nice feeling that lasts as long as the last Christmas present is opened. How many of you are excited for Christmas Day? What are you most excited for? Yeah, which one? You think there are some, you've already seen it underneath the tree? You know which one it is? Okay, but it's coming. Jesus and presents, correct. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. You're excited to worship God. It's exciting when we get to worship God together. Yeah, Ziki, what are you excited for Christmas? To read a Christmas book, yeah. Yeah, I'm excited for Christmas books too. Like we have, our family sometimes, we never make it through because we have people interjecting and then the story goes offline. I don't know if your family does that. Yeah. So with all of the things of Christmas, okay, and I'm talking to all of you little ones, and I'm talking to the grown-ups. The grown-ups handle it slightly differently, and you guys also handle it slightly differently, okay? But we can be excited and busy about a lot of things. But can we take just a little bit of time? So when you're very excited about something on Christmas morning, can you do this one little thing, okay? It'll take you 10 seconds. When you wake up, just say, stop, and say, Jesus, I want to come to you and thank you for coming to save me. Can we do that? It's a very simple thing you can do together as a family, or you could do it just by yourself before you go to bed, or when you wake up, say, just stop for a minute and say, Jesus, I want to thank you for coming to save me. Okay? And when you do that, what you are doing is you're saying, I'm coming to you. And God will show you in your own little way, in your own special way, he will show you what it means to be connected to him, what it means to come and learn from him. The words he uses there is, For I am gentle and lowly of heart. That word gentle is used three times. It's not gentle. That's not that word. That word gentle has to do with blessed are the gentle, for they will see God. The meek. It is someone who is teachable. Someone who is moldable. Someone who is ready to listen. So what is Jesus telling you? What kind of a teacher is he? Is he a teacher who's like, hey, so you messed this up, and then you messed this up, and then you messed this up. Go again. Is he that kind of a teacher? No. He's a teacher who says, I want to listen to where you're at. But also, he modeled for us. He says, I will not do anything unless I see my Father do it. I will not say anything unless I see my Heavenly Father say it. So he modeled for us what it means to be gentle, to be someone who is teachable, someone who is quick to listen and slow to speak. If you've been part of Word of Grace, you would have heard this word before, which is hinani, which is, here I am, I'm listening to do what you will say. That's the heart of gentle. That word gentle there means someone who is quick and soft of heart to listen. And the second word was lowly. Now we hear that in a lot of Christmas carols, right? In a lowly stable. And that is the exact meaning of that word, which is he did not come into position. But he's someone who chooses the absolutely ordinary. So when he says, I am gentle and lowly of heart, he's saying, I am not looking for your performance or your Sunday best. What I am looking for is someone who sits with me in the normal, in the unimpressive, in the absolutely devastatingly messy, and saying, I'm coming to you to find rest. I'm coming to you. I'm not going to wait till my family looks perfect. I'm not going to wait till my kid is going to respond the same way I want them to. I'm not going to wait till everything in my life figures itself out. I'm going to come to you with my lowly estate. It's just my normal. When I come to God like that, what am I doing? I'm placing a stop on all the trying. All the trying that I tried to do, stop. Come to me. Are you heavy laden? Are you weary? Are you tired, exhausted? Stop trying. Walking with Jesus and knowing Jesus is not a trying activity. It is a coming to him and letting him hold you. Which is why, if you see the imagery I chose for our Christmas service, is a shepherd. How many of you know what a shepherd does? What does a shepherd do? Jay. She takes care of sheep. What else? Works on a farm. What? Guides us. Gets the babies out of the sheep too. That's true. We need good shepherds who can get the babies out. What else? Yeah. He carries a staff. Do you know what that's for? Uh-huh. He can grab it with the stick. Yeah? So that's why a shepherd has a stick. It's got that little... They go... He grabs them by the neck. Right. Yeah, go ahead. If they get dirty, he cleans them up. They get dirty. Oh, yeah, shepherds get dirty a lot. That's a good point. So the shepherd we are coming to, if you see that little lamb over there, I want you to picture somebody who just got himself in a hole, got dirty, got messed up. The shepherd needs to use his stick. He needs to be taking care of the sheep, right? He's the person who goes, runs out after them. And he says, what are you doing in this ditch? What did you do? You're all messy and muddy. We're going to have to wash you off. But what does the shepherd do? Is he like, ugh, you're so dirty. Ugh. Does he do that? No, he doesn't do that. What does the shepherd do? He picks up the sheep. And he holds him. He's like, you must be cold, right? You must be cold. So he picks him up and he holds him. See, just like that picture, right? He picks him up, holds him close, keeps him warm, and says, I will go clean you up. Who will go clean him up? Can the sheep clean himself up? He rubs his butt on the grass. Can he do that? Is that how a sheep gets clean? No. But how a sheep gets clean only because the shepherd takes care of him, right? So in our lives, we often sometimes feel as shepherd, the shepherd wants us to go get clean first. We feel like, oh, I need to go figure this out first. Or maybe I should make my family Christmas look really good. That's how I please God. What are we going to do? Put your hands up. Stop. Wait a minute. So when you stop, you're saying, I'm going to come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So I want you to start to hear the voice of your shepherd. And I want to read this from Isaiah 42. It says, behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud, nor lift up his voice, or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bear forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged, till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says the Lord God, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and the spirit to those who walk on it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, and as a light for the nations. This is Jesus. To the person sitting in this room right now or listening online who feels like, I love God, but I feel like my flame is just about to go out. I don't know if I have what it takes. If what Sam was reading resonated with where you're at, I want you to hear this and hear it good. Come to me. The call to come to Jesus is not a religious one. The call to come to Jesus is just you simply saying, I don't have this figured out. I don't know how this works. And Jesus says, it's okay, come. Take my teaching, take my schooling upon you. It's not a heavy kind of teaching. I will come and be with you. I am gentle and lowly of heart. And you will find rest, a real stopping of all that busyness for your soul. Something that a weekend off will not do for you. Something that cutting certain things out from my schedule will not do for you. How many of you know that if I gave you a vacation right now, which how many of you would like a vacation? I would too. We would all love a vacation. Now, but here's the truth of the matter. And if you're an adult in this room, I want you to pay attention to me very carefully. No amount of Sabbathing by yourself or taking vacations will save you. Because you know when you hit that pillow, or forget about the pillow, when you're awake during the day, the amount of busyness in your head is enormous. You can go to Cancun, you can be sitting on a beach somewhere in Costa Rica, and it goes with you. So when you're sitting there and you're like, oh yeah, this was supposed to be restful, this was my time off. Sitting around the fire, the tree, and my kids opening presents, and but then January's coming, and then my boss and my bills and this, and before you know it, suddenly the coffee and the hot chocolate you were drinking with watching the fire and the kids and has turned into something else. How did that happen? Because life is happening. Life didn't stop for Christmas, did it? Okay. So if that is the life you and I are both living and we're being honest about it, the kind of rest we need is a soul kind of rest, where the busyness inside here, but who can speak to the storm inside and say, peace, be still? Who can do that? Have you tried it? You and I have tried it. It doesn't work. This is why the world needs a savior. This is why we need Jesus. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 8, Jesus says, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. For those who have heard from the Old Testament, where in Exodus he told the nation of Israel, I want you to keep the Sabbath holy and make sure you do it, because it is holy unto the Lord. And this is a covenant for all generations, which is why the Sabbath never stopped. And they thought, oh yeah, that means we should not do anything on that day. That was the point. But guess what? They could be sitting in Costa Rica. They could be sitting in their house. They could be sitting with their kids. But their mind was still not at rest. And he says, I have come to bring your soul rest. So no amount of me taking a day off, how many of you have heard of work-life balance? Right? And you'll be pulled into HR or occupational health if you work in a bigger company. I was someone when I worked in HR for some, like handling a lot of these things for employees. No amount of occupational health will sort this out, because people don't know how to do work-life balance. There is no such thing as balance. So your life needs to be something that is passionately about being at rest with Jesus. So even if there's a storm, even if things are crazy, I find my rest from a different place. So if you're a student here at school, are there things that upset you? Are there things that worry you or make you anxious about something? Some things in school are hard. Handling certain things when you're a kid is hard. But what do you have? Stop. Jesus, I come to you. I thank you for coming to save me. It starts with those simple things. And then you know that Jesus will come to be what? That good shepherd. What does the shepherd do? He gets dirty. He picks up that little one who's struggling and he says, it's okay, I got you. I got you. I'm not going to let you be by yourself. So when you feel like you're all alone or in the midst of a trouble that no one else can fix, what does he say? I'm going to scoop you up and hold you. Can I have the worship team up, please? As we close over here and as we move into this time where the kids are going to sing for us, I want us to just focus a little bit on the idea that the rest I have does not come from me. Can we do that together? Admit before God that the rest I have does not come from me. It does not come from my circumstances. Okay? So if you are sitting here and you have been through a rough year, if you've had a hard year, don't try and pretend like everything is magical right now. Okay? Because I know that there are some people in the room who are like, I'm all about Christmas. Like, I am the most celebratory kind of a person around. And if that's not you, that's okay. Don't fake it, But I want to show you that rest is available for your soul. Joy is not a faked emotion. But joy comes from a place of rest. And if you're going to truly find rest, it has to be something Jesus does. It cannot be something you take yourself out and have a nice Christmas tree, have a really nice decorated house, have really nice presents for the children, have really nice holiday traditions. All of those things are wonderful. But you will get lost in them. Try to drown yourself in those things to try and numb the busyness that has made you agitated. So this Christmas, I mean, this is something that a word that God gave me a couple months ago, and to really drive home this point as we got into Christmas. I want my people to have rest. And rest is only available for the one who believes. And I'm not saying this in a generic sense. He says, if you do not choose to come to me, what you will have is unrest. I dealt with this 2 weeks ago when we dealt with, they will enter my rest. If you hear his voice today, don't harden your heart. Don't say, my problems are not that. I've got this. If you hear his voice today, I want you to respond to God's voice. I want you to respond to the shepherd who will make sure you have no want. Respond to the shepherd who quietens you and leads you beside still waters. The shepherd who will lead you through the valley that you're going through right now, that seems like the shadow of death. He will lay a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He anoints your head with oil so that your cup overflows. Now, do you see how the shepherd leads you to a place where joy starts to become an overflow item? It's not a, come on, find it quick, it's Christmas season. J-O-Y is sitting around everyone's house, like that's like the standard decoration, right? Joy. And you're like, joy, but not. And my point is, I want us to have authentic joy this season. And that only comes when we bring ourselves to him. So can we do that together? Just bow our heads together. We're going to do this quickly. Father, I thank you that you have come to bring us rest. That you did not put an ill-fitting yoke upon us, something that will be a burden on us. Your burden is easy and light because you are with us. When we get dirty, when we get messed up, you bend low, you pick us up, you hold us close, and you say, I will take care of you. So, Lord, for the littlest ones here to the oldest ones, Lord, who have different things in their heart that they are troubled about or anxious about or just don't know how to make head or tails of it, Lord, I ask that you would come into these moments as we draw near to you, as we come to you with our hearts. We submit ourselves to the working of Jesus by his Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives. We receive with faith what you have for us. We thank you for rest this season. We thank you for rest for our families. Lord, for our children, Lord, that they would come to know you more, that they would be drawn to the care and safety of knowing Jesus personally. We thank you for each one in this room, Lord, and each one watching online, that you care for each of these dear ones. I ask, Lord, that you would manifest your grace and peace this season. Lord, that there would be in homes that are in distress, Lord, that you would bring a word of comfort, a word of rest into those places. Lord, for places where there is distress in finances, Lord, I ask that you would bring help and support. Lord, for places where internally, Lord, people are struggling with things, I ask, Lord, that you would bring comfort and rest. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.